All right, Kevin Barker, that was a little more like it.
8-2, the Blue Jays beating the Baltimore Orioles tonight in the second game of this four-game series, second game of the year, coming off a 12-2 loss. It is Blue Jays Talk with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. The number is always 416-870-0590, *590, 888-666-0590. If you want to text us, 590-590 is the text line standard. Message and data rates, you know, they always apply. Kevin, where do you want to start with tonight's game? We got a great start from Kevin Gausman. Exactly what the doctor ordered.
Yeah.
Six hits from the top third of the lineup, the bottom third of the lineup. Very productive. Three hits, a couple of walks. The Jays scoring five runs in the fourth inning on singles. Walk, two sacrifice flies, a wild pitch. 14 hits for the Jays today, 11 of them singles. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, let's start with the guy on the mound, right? The way Berríos looked yesterday, sort of, you know, when your guy's on the mound, doesn't set the tone for you, sort of is going to look the way it looked yesterday. Gausman was really good. Was he great? You know, the velocity on the fastball was great. He threw 52 of them. He averaged 95 miles an hour. But the one little thing that, you know, is going to be, I think, a storyline all season, how's he get swing and miss on the split finger? He threw 34 of them. He had 18 swings on it. He only had two swing and misses, Jeff. You know, again, that's one of the main reasons why I think, it's sort of been a headache for him, is just trying to figure out exactly how he's going to get swing and miss on that, how he's going to set it up. I think he threw, what, seven or eight more sliders. I mean, it's a little bit for show to get him off it, so maybe he can get a swing and miss. But the velocity on the fastball, we had John on our show today. What did he say when I asked him about, you know, what he's looking for Kevin, if he's going to have a good day against this balanced lineup? And he said velocity in different quadrants. That's exactly what happened. But, again, if you're picking, I mean, he had a really good start. He gave him a chance to have the big inning. You mentioned it, you know, the fourth inning there. They ran nine batters to the plate. They had five singles. They had two sack flies. They had a walk. They scored five runs. He saw 36 pitches. That's exactly what a starting pitcher is supposed to do against a lineup, a good lineup. You keep them in it. Give your lineup a chance to have the big inning. That's exactly what he did. I just wonder how they're going to sort of correct that to try and get more swing and misses. But tip your hat to him. He's made adjustments. He's throwing harder consistently from the first pitch to the last pitch. Is exactly where he needed it to be. Now it's move on, try and build off of that, and try and have a good season.
18 of 22 first pitch strikes. He did get ahead in the count.
Yeah.
Got some terrific defense early in the game. Alan Roden in left field, a diving catch on Ryan O'Hearn. Will Wagner, a really nice play at third base down the line. 105-mile-an-hour ball off the bat of Tyler O'Neill, and then Bo Bichette makes a nice throw to lead off the third. I mean, Jackson Holliday homered to give the Jays a lead, but you know, those defensive plays early in the game, Kevin, they saved Kevin Gausman some pitches, and
yeah,
you know, allowed him to get through six innings tonight.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a team win, right? I mean, the fourth inning, we mentioned that about all the singles and how many batters came up to hit. The pinch hitter, Clement, I mean, give John Snyder credit. He was waiting to use Ernie, right? Ernie last year against lefties was second on the team in hits. You know, last year he was second on the team with two out hits. You know, he led the team last year with five pinch hits. John's sitting over there wondering and waiting when he can bring Ernie in the game to get that big-time hit. And I'm very surprised, Brandon High, with what the score was when Ernie came in the game and who was standing on the on-deck circle, why he didn't put him on first base. Again, it's just little things. Mm-hmm. With the way your offense looked yesterday, with the way the guy standing on the mound for the Blue Jays was basically dominating your lineup, you got to keep him in it. For him not to know that Ernie did all of those things last year and the guy standing on the on-deck circle basically didn't do anything last year is a little bit of a head-scratcher. But, again, you know, you tip your hat to what the Blue Jays did. The manager did all the right things today. You mentioned it, the big three. I said this and will continue to say it. If the big three ain't doing it, how are they going to get it done? Today they did it. 6-for-12, two RBIs, two runs. That's exactly what the doctor ordered. Good pitching, good defense. Don't make too many mistakes. I mean, they made some. Pass ball, getting picked off third. Little things like that that you don't need to do if you're going to face really good teams. You can't do if you're going to beat them. Tip your hat. They did enough to win a baseball game after the way they looked yesterday. You'll take it.
Yeah, Nick Sandlin came in to get the final outs of the game. 3-4 ball walks. He's going to pitch a lot this year for the Blue Jays. There's not much doubt about that. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590, 590-590 is the text line. The start of the game, Kevin, we were looking at each other. First inning, one out, Vladdy singles. Santander singles, moves him to third. Jimenez, strikeout swinging. Kirk, strikeout swinging. We're thinking, uh-oh, here we go. Same thing, third inning. Vladdy doubles. Santander pops up. Jimenez grounds out the first base. We're sitting there looking at each other thinking, well, this is kind of what we were concerned about, right? Top three guys get a little something going, and then it just dries up at the bottom of the lineup. But as I said, that fourth inning, everybody contributed.
Yeah.
And Alan Roden got his first RBI as well. Look, that was it was a nice catch. Alan Roden had to open the second inning. We talked about, Kevin, I don't, you know, he's not going to be a center fielder, I don't think, for me. But, he looks like he can do some things for this team.
Yeah.
And if he can hit, he gives you good at bat.
Yeah.
He doesn't look overwhelmed.
It'll be interesting to see when Varsho comes back how they do it. Like, again, Roden's got to play. Wagner's got to play. There's some guys that, you're going to run out of room for. Who's the odd guy out? Is it Springer? Springer today had a couple of hits. We mentioned the getting picked off third, which you can't do, but he looks a little bit in between. That line out that he had, I think that was 109 miles an hour. That's good, right? It's exit velocities. We talked to John early in camp, and that's what he was talking about. They want to see more exit velocities. Continue to see that. You're hitting. You're playing. It's real simple.
Let's go to Ben on the road. You just left the game. Hopefully you're not, physically on the road. Hopefully you're in a car.
Hello?
Hey, Ben. What's up?
Oh, hello.
Hey. Long-time listener, first-time caller. On the way back to London.
You know what, Ben? We can barely hear you.
I think Ben might have his radio on.
I think Ben may have your radio on. We can barely hear you. Give us a call back, and we'll try to get you on again. We'll see if we can get that fixed out. Brendan in Regina. What's up, Brendan?
Gentlemen, great to be talking ball again.
Thank you for calling us all the way from Saskatchewan.
I'll throw a bonus one at you that maybe Kevin can answer after I'm off the line,
sure.
Which is what do you think of the idea of maybe adding in that rule that when you lift your starting pitcher that you have to forfeit your DH so that maybe teams will actually start keeping players when they're old who can just come and pinch hit like they did for
Jason
Kevin
Stark's double hook.
Okay, and then,
yeah.
But the one I wanted both of you to explain. My wife says you guys talk about this a lot, but I haven't heard it. Why isn't Vlad hitting cleanup, and who makes that call, and what do you guys think of it?
Brendan, I appreciate the call. I'm going to turn that over to Kevin Barker, the cleanup stalker. He's been talking about this all year. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, we won't continue to talk about it?
Of course we will.
Yeah, it's about at-bats. You're trying to get your best hitters more at-bats than everybody else. I mean, that's basically the main reason. That's why he's not hitting third. They want to put him in the two hole, so they're trying to get a couple of guys on when Santander comes up. Because Santi ain't going to get a quadrillion hits, but when he does get them, they want him getting them with as many players on the bases as possible. And, right now I think the way the lineup's constructed, this is the way probably is best for the Blue Jays to try and score as many runs. Jeff, I just don't know how many times they can win a game running 9 batters to the plate without hitting a homer. I hate to continue to beat this to death a little bit, which they had a really good game today. That's going to be hard to do. They had some really good at-bats. They worked counts. They were playing situational baseball. They weren't over-swinging.
It is the second game of the year.
It is. But that's the thing, I think, is can you bloop and bomb good teams? Most good teams have what, Jeff? Good pitching.
Right.
Good pitching keeps it in the yard. It's that kind of thing. But it worked out today, and hopefully continue. They can build off of that. And there's some young guys having some really good at-bats. Passing the baton, getting it to the top of the order. That's why the top of the order looked better today.
Ian in Ridgeville just sent in a text, Kevin, further to your point. He said he loved the fact that Toronto seemed to be playing a little more small ball tonight as opposed to last season. I got to say this. I mean, I don't like small ball. I don't like talking about small ball. You know what I always say? You know what it takes to play small ball? Small balls. And you're going to win and lose through home runs. Small ball, you know, singles to me that you know, I think so. Small balls like bunting and all that stuff and stealing bases. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think there's a difference between guys making contact and you know, driving in runs and small ball.
Yeah, I'm not sure the five singles were on purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
The Kirky thing was, that's a hard line drive. That's a hanging breaking ball. The Springer single, you know, that's off the end. That's a little bit of luck involved. Like, you know, the Wagner hit, that's a hanging breaking ball. Like, you know, again, it's early in the season. Sometimes it's more about making hard contact than it is actually getting in those good counts to where you can have party out front a little bit. And small ball's probably not the right way to say it. It's just the fact that it's early in the season. You're trying to get your feet wet. Some guys are trying to stay in the lineup. Mm. The way you do that is when a runner's on third, less than two outs, you get a decent enough pitch that you can get the ball in the air. I think that is the theme in camp, at least the word that I've gotten, was the situational thing, stay in the big part of the field, basically what they're trying to do. To be able to do that, you got to get the right pitch. You saw today they sort of did that. They got Charlie Morton on the ropes a little bit, laid off that little slurve that he liked to throw from, you know, a little bit of sidearm from righties, kept it in the zone. When they got it, they didn't miss it, and that's sort of what you do after you're getting really good starting pitching. It allows you to have the big inning. That's what the Jays did today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think the whole thing was small ball. It's a little too, like, trying to come up with some sort of offensive philosophy, and this team is not a small ball team. Kevin's right. Guys aren't up there trying to hit singles. I think that's the best way to put it. This is not going to be sort of Whitey Herzog's Cardinals, so let's not get carried away. I'm sure they would. All of them would prefer that those singles went for extra bases. Brandon on the road, you just left the game. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, you got me now?
I got you now, man. Thanks for your
patience. Okay, so, hey, anyway, I agree. Slow start, but it worked out well. My question, though, is what's Springer doing get picked off like that? Like, what, that seemed aggressive unnecessarily. No?
Brandon, I'm going to pass it over to Kevin. Kevin looked at me. We're in the press box watching the game. Kevin looked at me and said, "Why so aggressive?"
Yeah, there's no excuse for it. Like, this is the big leagues. Like, running the bases is something you should be learning, you know, a long time ago. Springer's been around a long time, right? I was always taught you shuffle. You don't turn both your shoulders towards home plate, because when you do, what do you have to do? You have to turn your shoulders in a complete U-turn to run back to third base. That part of it don't register for me. It's just, you're too aggressive. Shuffle, stop your feet, have your momentum headed in that direction. That way you can go one way or the other. It's too aggressive. It's, again, it gets back to that. When you're not hitting homers, you have to do all the little things right. That's one of those things. It's a great point by the caller. It's things that I know, I've talked to John Snyder about. They have to clean up. This is a veteran guy doing things that rookies do in the minor leagues. You can't do those things, especially when you're sort of in between what you're trying to do offensively. You know, you're up there in age. I mean, he's a decent enough defender. It's just when you get on base, you have to know what's going on around you. You have to know that, hey, I'm fast enough that I don't have to go that far down the line. I can shuffle, have that momentum headed in the right direction, and if it warrants going that way, I'm going to go that way. So they got to clean it up. If they want to have any chance to play meaningful games in September, it's little things like that. It's little things like Kirky down 10 trying to go to second base in the ninth inning. You got to clean those things up. You're going to win a lot.
Brendan Little left the game after 11 pitches. He had 8 strikes and left after 11 pitches. You know, we'll wait. We're listening to John Schneider right now, or the guys back at the studio are listening to John Schneider, so maybe we'll hear something about it. I mean, Brendan Little is a guy who really, Kevin, really wrote himself large into this bullpen in spring training. And, you know, I mean, we'll wait and see what the issue is.
Grabbing his lat. Now, I think that's your lat right underneath
I have no idea.
Well, he was grabbing that, whatever that is underneath your.
I know Chris LaRue said he thought it might be it might be one of those issues, but yeah. We'll wait and see. And, you know, that would be a loss for the bullpen. He's had a good spring, and, you know, Pete Walker's wanted two lefties in the bullpen, right? That was one of the reasons that, and just the numbers and the way things shook out, one of the reasons Ryan Yarbrough isn't here. So we'll see.
You're not going to let that go.
I'm not going to let that go. We'll see where that goes. And again, we'll hear from John Schneider in a few minutes. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. The Blue Jays have beaten the Baltimore Orioles 8-2. Folks, they are not going to go through the year without winning a game.
Hey.
You know, well, you talk about guys need the first hits in the majors. Teams need their first win.
There you go.
There you go. 8-2. The Blue Jays have their first win of the year. We are going to take a break and come back with more. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You talked a lot in the spring about pulling out the right club in a certain situation. And did you see that play out during that inning?
Yeah. You know, we're getting our hits. And I think over time, it's gonna even out. It's going to work. And whenever you're going up against a good starter, you know, it's you can kind of see how it unfolds. You know, pitch count got up a little bit, you know, worked him in the first, worked him in the second, and then all of a sudden it kind of just gets a little bit contagious. So, you know, without home runs, I think those were really, really good at-bats. Underrated at-bat is from Lukey, 3-2 walk. It's hard to take 3-2. You know, a lot of guys historically around the league, they chase 3-2, and I think that kind of set the tone then for Allen. And then on down the road when you turn it back over. But I think everyone did a really good job of doing what the situation asked for tonight.
Yeah, they call these games, these wins, team wins, and that's exactly what it was for the Blue Jays, an 8-2 win over the Baltimore Orioles. Time now for our Bet365 standings update. It's a little early in the year for standings updates, so let's talk about Juan Soto, shall we? The New York Mets are currently leading the Houston Astros 3-1. Juan Soto with his first home run as a Met. 390-foot, 107.3-mile-an-hour shot off Hunter Brown. Of course, this coming after Juan Soto had a rather interesting opener with the Mets. He was on base three times, but struck out with the game on the line against Josh Hader. Mm. So there you go, Juan Soto, in case you're worried about Juan Soto and his $765 million. He has homered for the New York Mets.
Now I can sleep.
Now you can sleep. That's the way I look at it as well. That was John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays, talking, Kevin, about the lineup, about the, you know, we talked about this being a team win. Guys contributing up and down on the lineup, bottom of the lineup, the top three hitters as well also coming through. But, yeah, to, you know, further to your point, you want to see some home runs.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, there's really good pitching. Like, they throw a lot of breaking balls. They throw really hard. They throw it in a lot of different quadrants. For you to have nine dudes who know how to hit all that stuff, it's impossible to ask that. That's the point in having dudes who can hit two and three run homers. That's going to be the intriguing part of this. Can the Jays string together innings like they had tonight to win a bunch of games? We'll see.
Now, as we mentioned, Brendan Little left the game after 11 pitches, eight of them strikes. This was John Schneider on the status of Brendan Little.
And then with Little, what was the situation with him?
Yeah, weird. It's left lat cramp. You know, he was out there. It was second game of the year, so you want to be careful, right? He had really, really good stuff, obviously, but just felt a little bit out of sync a little bit. So wanted to be careful. We put him through some tests. We'll see how he is tomorrow. But it was just kind of like a cramp back in the lat area.
Well, there you go. Hopefully that's all it is a cramp. And so we mentioned Brendan Little figures to be an important part of this bullpen,
yep.
Kevin. You know, early in the year, I mean, why take a chance?
Uh-huh.
Why take a chance with a guy in that particular situation? The Jays did let him throw. I believe he threw two or three pitches with the training staff out there, and it was obviously first pitch through, he missed wide. It was obviously wasn't completely comfortable. So why take that chance if you're the Blue Jays? With Brendan Little. We'll see what tomorrow holds. Tomorrow, by the way, is Scherz Day. Huh?
Did you
Max
do that?
Scherzer. Pardon me?
Did you do that?
What, Max
you
Scherzer?
You made up that?
No, I've said it before. I mean, I'm not the first person to call it Scherz Day.
Oh.
You don't like it?
I
don't know. It's kind of nice, I think. Scherz Day, it's a bit of an occasion.
I guess. I mean, he's earned it. So, yeah.
What are you looking for from Max? We know that thumb. Strikeouts. Apparently thumb is fine and...
Strikeouts. I mean, he's a hired gun. Let's be honest. It's facts. Like, I mean, he's up there in age. What we see in spring training when he was healthy or healthy enough, he struck people out. That's what I want to see. I want to see him punching people out, using all that pitches and changing speeds and elevating and controlling the strike zone. I mean, that's what he did really well in spring training was it was up, down, in, and out with different speeds, different shapes. That's what I want to see. I want to see how he handles the lefties. They're going to throw some really good lefties at him. You know, he don't have the 97 anymore. Like, he's pitching more at 93, more probably 92s than 94, 95. So how's he going to maneuver around that? You know, the unpredictability of the strike one I think will be very important for him. You know, some changeups, slow breaking balls, like backdooring some things. You know, will he be one of those guys that could make a lefty uncomfortable, which we didn't see in game one? So I think that's what it is. He's the one guy in the rotation I think can get a punch out when he needs it. I want to see it.
Yeah, no, that is the thing that will separate him, I think, from the rest of the guys in this rotation. 590-590, as I mentioned, is the text line. Lots of texts in. Dave from Cold Lake, Alberta, all the talk about signing Vladdy. I think Bo ends up being the more productive player in regards to impact on a team. His defense has improved over the last few years. He's healthy and will hit. He'll do more for a team on both sides of the ball and plays a prime position.
He's going to help. Did you see Vladdy hit that three-hopper to right center at 112 miles an hour, two strikes?
Yeah.
You see it?
Yeah.
I mean, I get what he's saying, and I understand it's going to take more of a village than one person. But, boy, I mean, when he hits it, it's coming off hot.
Yeah.
So?
Yeah. No, I am I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Mike in Toronto, lots made me happy, but I do love the great defensive play by Wagner. And he also talks about Alan Roden as well.
Yeah.
You know, again, we talked about this. Look, when Dalton Varsho comes back, there are going to have to be some decisions that are going to have to be made, right? You got Miles Straw here. Mm-hmm. Joey Loperfido, by the way, homered in Buffalo today. But you got Miles Straw here. You've got Nathan Lucas, who, you know, deserves the shot that he's getting. I mean, the organization has kept him around long enough. And you know, you've got Alan Roden. There's Dalton Varsho comes back. They're not all going to be able to play. And it will be interesting to see what happens now if, you know, when that decision is made, if Alan Roden is playing good defense and is contributing offensively, it's going to be interesting to see where the playing time shakes out. Because, you know, when Dalton, they've made it clear, Dalton Varsho's coming back here to play center field. He ain't coming back here to DH.
Absolutely.
So when he's back here, he's going to be in center field, and there's going to be a trickle-down effect from that.
Yeah. Again, it gets back to that. They're in win mode. You hit, you're playing. If you're not hitting, you're not playing or you're not on the team. And if you're a Jays fan, I think that's a breath of fresh air. And I talked to some of the young guys today. They like that. Like, they like that it's sort of put up or shut up. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to do as a big leaguer, probably going to stay in the big leagues. If I'm not, and there's that urgency of batting practice are a little bit more fine. You know, you're doing things to get it going a little quicker. So when you do get your chance, that you look like you deserve a lot more chances. So there's competition, which is never a bad thing.
Let's end the show tonight by hearing from the starter, Kevin Gausman.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to kind of get off to a good start. Honestly, kind of nice to just get the first one out of the way, you know. You know, just a lot of adrenaline and lots of nerves, and so, you know, was happy to just kind of get it over with, to be honest. But, yeah, it was a good day for everybody, and, you know, me and Kirky were on the same page for the majority of the game, and so, you know, besides a couple hits, I thought we did pretty well.
You had so much going on last year just to get ready for the start of the season, you know, on the major list. I mean, how different is just this year kind of entering the season for you compared to where you were 12 months ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. You know, I feel like I can just worry about pitching, to be honest, and not kind of worry about the question mark of how I'm going to feel. You know, last year that was kind of a constant, just about every day after the start, kind of reevaluating how I felt. And so, you know, worked really hard this offseason to kind of put in the work to set a good foundation. And, yeah, I feel pretty good. And, you know, it's just, you know, you get in those lights out here, it's a little different, though. So, you know, it was nice. I mean, it's kind of like a drug, you know. It's haven't had it in a while, and so that adrenaline was nice for sure.
That is Kevin Gausman, the winning pitcher tonight. The Toronto Blue Jays beating the Baltimore Orioles 8-2 at the Rogers Center. The third game of this four-game series goes tomorrow. It is a 3:07 first pitch. Max Scherzer on the mound for the Blue Jays, making his Blue Jays debut. Dean Kramer on the mound for the Baltimore Orioles. So, after losing 12-2 in their home opener, the Jays rebound with an 8-2 win in front of a Friday night crowd of 26,289. Mr. Barker, thanks as always for accompanying me.
Hey, thanks for having me, buddy. Happy birthday weekend to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It is indeed my birthday weekend. And when I talk to you on Monday on Blair and Barker, I'll be 65 years old. So there you go. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers. You know, 65, I might need some rust control. Anyhow, Crown Rust Control Centers in St. John and St. Stephen, New Brunswick. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. So protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.